Welcome again to the Radio Bible Course. We're continuing our study of Paul's epistle to the Galatians, and in chapter 2, Paul has been talking about how a person could not even a Jew, could be justified by works of the law, but instead by faith in Jesus Christ. Why is Paul so strong about this matter of faith in Jesus Christ? There's a lot more in the Bible than just faith, isn't there? Oh, yes, there's quite a bit about the law and how people were told, commanded, to keep the law of God in the Old Testament. If they kept it, they would be blessed, and if not, they would be cursed. God blessed the whole nation when they obeyed, and he led them into captivity because of their sins and their disobedience and their idolatry. God cares how people live, but God has established, by the sending of his Son to the earth, a new way to satisfy him and his righteousness. It's called righteousness through faith. And it's God's righteousness because he gives it to us when we dare to believe that Jesus Christ did everything necessary to pay what we could not pay. Now, since Jesus paid the debt of the sinner, and that's what good news means, the debt is not outstanding. There's nothing else that God can possibly do for anyone because everything has been done. Don't pray and ask God to send another Savior or to send an angel to do something for you. Everything has been done, and God is waiting. Christ is waiting also. The Bible tells us he's seated in heaven, waiting. He's waiting for you to believe, but he's also waiting for that time when his enemies will be made his footstool, and he'll return to the earth to judge the nations and to rule. If you read the newspaper, you of course have noticed the many specials. There are specials on tires and specials on eyeglasses. There are specials on swimsuits and the summer clothing. But God never has a special on salvation. It always comes at the full price. And always the price is the same. What's the price? Death. Christ paid it. He paid it in full. Now, we are not saved because of our faith in Christ. And I want to point this out because many people believe in their faith or tend to trust in the fact that they have strong faith. The Bible never teaches that. Faith is not an asset that we possess and give to God so that he will accept us. Faith is a response to his promise. It's not an offering which we hope he will accept. We are not saved because we have strong faith or much faith. Now, we either believe God or we don't. And if you don't believe God, you doubt God. Doubting God is bad news because there are no promises in the Bible to those who doubt. All the promises from God are to those who believe him. If we believe, he declares us righteous forever. That's called justification. Now, when a person claims that he must have faith and works, he is telling you that he doesn't understand faith. He is using a word without its biblical meaning. That's the case because biblical faith is a response to a gift offer instead of a response to do something. It is the alternative to works, which cannot justify, of course. Faith is God's way. It leads to life. What do works lead to? Only condemnation, because our works are not perfect and they are incomplete. And if you are seeking to be justified on the basis of God's righteous standard in the Old Testament, then you better be prepared to live up to it perfectly, because God knows nothing about imperfection. He can't accept it. The reason he accepts us who believe in Jesus Christ is because he values perfection. And he said from heaven, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." Jesus Christ pleased the Father in everything. That's perfection. And if you want to benefit from it, then you put your complete trust in Him so that God will look at you in the same light that He looked at His Son. And He saves us in the process. You see, faith in the Bible is not merely believing that Jesus died. That is acceptance of a historic fact. Faith that saves us calls for one to believe that his death will benefit him. I meet so many people who say they believe in Jesus, and they even believe that Jesus died for our sins. And when I ask, "And what good did it do you?" Well, they can't answer, and they don't seem to understand what I'm asking. Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus died to do us some good, to benefit us. Now, one thing is absolutely clear, that if Jesus died for my sins, then I don't have a sin problem anymore, because He made the payment, and once the payment is made, it's canceled. Now, it's good news in the fact that if someone else died for my debt, then I don't have to die for my debt. That's very good news. Now, everlasting life is the benefit of faith in Jesus Christ. Can you believe what the Bible says about the death of Jesus Christ? Or are you one of those persons who groans within and says, "Isn't it too bad that such a good man had to die?" Many people are very concerned about the injustice that led to the death of Christ. "It isn't fair," they say. "He never did any harm to anybody. He was perfectly sinless and the only good man who ever lived, and yet they crucified him." "Too bad," they say. But the Bible doesn't emphasize that at all. It emphasizes this, that God sent him here for that very purpose, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Have you been saved by the coming of Jesus? Have you been saved by the death of Jesus? Are you trusting in the death? You see, the gospel is a good news story from God. It's not an account of how Jesus suffered unfairly, and God asks us to believe what he has declared about that crucifixion of Jesus. Now we want to move on in Galatians 2 to verse 17. We have Paul's rebuke of Peter continuing. He writes, "But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we ourselves were found to be sinners, is Christ then an agent of sin? Certainly not. But if I build up again those things which I tore down, then I prove myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if justification were through the law, then Christ died to no purpose." Now we need to be reminded of why Paul has written these things to the Galatian churches. It is because they were involved in the same error as Peter when he visited Antioch. The Galatians and Peter allowed themselves to be influenced by the false teachers from the circumcision party. We called them Judaizers. They were Christians, supposedly, but they were holding on to the need for keeping the Old Testament laws. So what Paul writes here about Peter is for the admonition of these Christians in the Galatian churches. The rebuke of Peter, which began with verse 14, concerns Peter's action of first eating with Gentiles and later withdrawing, thus implying that a Christian needed to live by the law of Moses in order to be right with God. Now notice how Paul deals with that false message conveyed by Peter in verse 17. The passage is difficult, so let's deal with the Revised Standard Version, Galatians 2:17. Let me read it again. Some of you may not have your Bibles with you. But if, in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we ourselves were found to be sinners, is Christ then an agent of sin? Certainly not. In the first clause, Paul talks about the endeavor to be justified in Christ. And we need to ask the question, when did the apostles, including Peter, seek to be justified in Christ? Well, that's an easy answer. When they trusted in him as the Savior and abandoned the works of the law to save themselves. Now, in clause 2, he writes, "We ourselves were found to be sinners. If we," that is, people who ate Gentile food, and these are Jews he's talking about, "if we Jews who ate Gentile food were found to be sinners," or put another way, if we, in our freedom from the law as Christians, eat non-kosher foods and break the Old Testament dietary laws, and you, Peter, condemn this, you are telling us that Christ has led us into this category of sinners. Well, Peter must have really winced at that, because he wouldn't have wanted to call Christ the cause of their sin. But how would Christ cause us to sin? What's the logic in saying that Christ is the agent of sin? Well, was it not Christ who taught that what a man ate would not defile him? He said it, and it's recorded in Mark chapter 7, verse 18. Jesus said, "Do you not understand that whatever goes into the man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach, and is eliminated. Thus he declared all foods clean." So Paul essentially is saying, "Peter, have you forgotten the vision that God gave you in Joppa with unclean animals and a voice telling you to kill and eat? Now, by your action at Antioch, you are implying that Gentiles cannot eat what God told you to eat." And Paul's message further is this: when we ate Gentile food, which violated the law of Moses, we were following Christ. And if we did wrong, is Christ responsible for our law-breaking? Well, Paul answers his own question to Peter: absolutely not. Now we have to break off here because of time restraints. You may have heard people say that the Bible promises to give a Christian anything he asks in the name of Jesus. Honest people, however, will admit that they haven't received everything that they have asked. What's wrong? They did not understand the meaning of praying in his name. We think our four cassette tapes called Understanding Prayer are the answer to that confusion. Write today for information on how you can order Understanding Prayer. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana 70898. The website is rbcword.org.